All right.
Blog Talk.
Please hang up and try again.
All right. You hear the music, you know it's Thursday night, the late show on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network, brought to you by yakangler.com. Pardon me for if I sound kind of splotchy tonight, because I'm having some technical issues here. My Skype session just died like a minute right before we went on the air, so we're right here, so bear with me with my technical issues, and hopefully the Skype doesn't take a dirt nap. So anyway, we're fresh back from Jacksonville, our President's Day yakangler.com/kayakfishingradionetwork.com President's Day boondoggle from Jacksonville. We camped out for a couple of days up at Little Talbot Island, and we're fresh back from that, man. And on the line, we've got a redder than normal solar flare exposed Mark Wheeler Jr., otherwise known as the Landing Crew. And Redfish Chuck is on there as well, and we're going to get to them in a little while. But if you don't know me, I am Rob DeVore. I'm otherwise known as a Bad Batcast. And you can check out my blog, check out all the going-ons in my world of kayak fishing and fly fishing. I've got so much stuff to write about. I'm in, like, writing heaven. So the updates should be fast and furious within the next week or two. But on the phone with me now, I have one of the daddies of kayak wars, the always dreaded, always illustrious contest here. If you don't know Kayak Wars, go to kayakwars.com. Anyway, I'm joined here on the air with Rick Underbrink. How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing great. Just
awesome.
Enjoying this radio show. So
yeah,
far.
Man. We have fun here. We've been doing this. The network's been on the air since last summer, and it's growing, and we keep getting a little bit better, a little bit bigger, and I think for the month of last week, I believe we're just ticking 400 listens to the show, downloads of the podcast and such. So it's really strange, Chip gets all the live listeners, and I get all the podcast downloads for some reason. It's strange to me. But, we kind of figured the reason we put a late show out is to get all the West Coast folks involved, because there's a lot of good kayak fishing going on the West Coast. So that's why I'm on at 11 o'clock at night. So anyway, Rick, where do you fish out of?
So I'm out of Texas. I fish primarily the Padre Island National Seashore. I'm a big Beyond the Breakers guy. I like the offshore species, pelagics, king mackerel. And
oh, nice.
Red snapper and sharks. And to be honest, it really began because I was a shark fisherman from the beach. That's what we do in Texas. We like the big fish, so we shark fish. And we would always go down the beach looking for bait or whatever to run out for shark bait, and we kind of got into kayak fishing because we would take the we'd go down the beach and we'd see these birds just working just beyond the third bar and could never get to them, and so we just said, you know what, we could get our kayak down there and go out offshore and go hammer some big jacks or Spanish or whatever, you know, we could get our hands on to run out for shark bait. And that's, you know, I've been shark fishing, I guess, it's going on, I don't know, 15 years now. And so we were doing that, I would say right at about 12 years ago or so is when we started kayak fishing offshore.
Awesome. So,
and throughout the years, we've kind of found some nice spots, some rocks and stuff that are just really an oasis in the middle of the desert, because there's nothing out there. And when you find just a little rise on the bottom, it's just loaded with all sorts of stuff. And big pelagics go on there, and cobia, sharks, everything. So it's a lot of fun. That's where it all kind of began for me and my buddy Eric Oswins, who's partner with me in Kayak Wars.
Yeah. Now, did you do you paddle out after that stuff, or do you just mothership it out, or you know?
We'll paddle anywhere from a mile to 5 miles offshore, and sometimes we have oil platforms, you know, near shore in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, we may have a platform that's within 2 miles, and we can go out to that and catch spade fish, and, you know, cobia will even sit there in the shade, and you can get after them that way too, which is kind of a unique thing about Texas, is we have these near shore oil platforms.
That's, yeah. Now, okay, you know, you said Padre Island out there. Now, do you get snook on the beach out there, like in the summertime?
Occasionally, they'll come up from South Padre, and we'll get them on the Port Mansfield jetties, which are, you know, they kind of separate South Padre from North Padre, and sometimes they'll cruise up the shoreline, up the coast, and go 20, 30 miles, and we'll see them at some of the piers. They'll be hanging around on the pilings and stuff, but we rarely catch them in the surf. We normally catch them at the actual jetties or at the pier along the pilings. You know, they're tied to the structure. So,
yeah, that's like, you know, it must be a Florida thing, because, you know, west coast of Florida, we get in the summertime, you know, it's like literally inches from the waterline, you know, in that swash channel on the beach, and we get loaded up with snook, and that's probably one of the best times of year to go out there and catch them, you know, that where they'll actually eat, you know, if you can catch them on the right tide and, you know, the right time of day. We have a blast with that, and that's you know, what my team is counting on me to do this year is to you know, get some points catching snook off the beach, man.
So,
yeah, I know, right?
Make it happen.
Yeah, I know. But they're putting the stress on me, you know. And I've been plagued, you know, all weekend. I was plagued with short fish. You know, I'd be like, oh yeah, there's one, and I'd you know, get the measuring board out and stick it, and it'd be 19 3/4. You know. I was just,
oh,
it's a rash of them, man. And then the one money fish that I did have, you know, I get him up on my kayak, and, you know, I unhook him, and I'm sticking him on the measuring board and getting the camera out, and he swam right off the edge of my, right off the end of my measuring stick and back into the water. So I definitely learned a lesson with that one, is keep them hooked up until you get the picture.
Yeah, you know, and I've heard lots of stories from anglers that participate in kayak wars, and they design a way where they get to a point where they understand how to take photos. It's a learning process just in itself on how to take the right picture, and because it's not only a competition on you fishing, it's taking pictures as well. And
yeah,
a lot of these guys tell me some great stories of monster fish that they've lost, and then, can I still get credit for this picture? And you know, it's like a half of a gill plate, and I'm like, how am I supposed to tell what that is? You know, but they'll beg and plead everything. You know, I get hundreds of emails from contestants every day about that sort of thing. So
yeah, I was kind of wondering how, you know, somebody, you know, and I know a lot of answers are on the Kayak Wars forum and stuff, and I haven't really looked at that too much, to be honest with you, but it is there. But how do some folks get points for, like, you know, without having it on a measuring stick? You know,
rule number 9, that seems to be the one that I'm always coming back to, and that happens to be, you know, there's a little bit of slop built into the system. For one, it's,
right,
you know, it's on the honor of the angler, and we try to give the angler the benefit of the doubt. Two, most of the people that are, you know, trying to add a post here or there just so that they can get on the board aren't usually going to catch a whole lot in the long run anyways. And so their catches almost don't even matter. You know,
yeah,
if they're trying to put a fish up there that's just barely quality, they end up, you know, we've been watching this for the last 5-6 years. Those, you know, anglers end up not doing too much, or they develop their skills, and then they get better fish, and then, you know, people razz them a little bit, and then they are like, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm not going to be posting up any more 19.5-inch trout anymore, because otherwise I'm going to get cremated on the forum. And so they learn from their mistakes, and that's kind of it's kind of an evolution of the Kayak Wars participant.
Yeah,
I guess.
Well, one of my teammates, Bill Howard Haywood, he was asking. I guess there was the famous tarpon picture a couple last week or so, where the guy got points for a tarpon and he didn't even get it. It was like him fighting the fish or something, you know. And he's a tournament guy, okay. So he's like really on the, you know. And he's like, why? How can that guy, you know? And he's going on the forum at Yank Angler talking about it. And I was like, I don't know, man. You know, that's a good question that I'll ask, you know. So, yeah, my teammate Bill Howard, otherwise known as Haywood, was wondering about that. So,
yeah, well, and we do have a little bit of a safety net in there for the large pelagics that are,
yeah,
you know, kind of like tarpon and sharks. We don't want people getting
a
5-foot flat tip in their lap or anything like
right.
that. You know, a tarpon can be dangerous too. You know, they got sharp gill plates and
yeah,
you know, they can tear somebody up pretty bad, you know, so.
Yeah, but that's cool. But, you know, no, that was just, you know, we were kind of curious and, you know, in that regard. But I'm telling you, I think it's a great system. It's a great, it's a great contest and tournament, man. And I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun because it actually, you know, when instead of sitting out there, you know, being happy catching dink trout, you know, all day long, I'm like, hey, maybe this is a money fish now, you know. It kind of gives you something to kind of puts a little bit of pressure on you, you know, that you're just doing something
exactly.
as a, you know, and it puts a little bit of purpose to it, you know, and it's fun that, you know, makes it fun. And, you know, a couple of my friends are doing it, and it's, you know, it gives us something to talk smack about, you know, on our Yak Angler and things of that nature. Like, for instance, Mark there, he lives in Virginia Beach, and he's got a Kayak Wars team. And I didn't know this either, but he was found out today that, you know, we caught a slew of redfish at Mosquito Lagoon over the weekend. And and about 3/4 of those fish that he caught would have got him 10 points apiece. He would have, like, probably maxed out on redfish in one day, you know, for the month. And,
yeah,
you know,
because it's an 18-inch minimum for the Northeast.
Yeah, yeah, and we got a ton of redfish that were between, you know, 15 and 18 inches. And he could have got on the board all day long, and, you know, he only got one, you know, fish that he documented that was, I don't know, how big was that, Mark, like 23 inches or so?
24.5.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see. And he could have just been, you know, point, probably maxed out on redfish in one day.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Mark.
So,
yeah,
but it's,
you know,
funny.
I've actually gone ahead and, you know, copied the Northeast section of fish, you know, pasted it on the Word, you know, made it down into one sheet, you know, color-coded each fish. and I've actually stuck it in a gallon-sized Ziploc bag, laminated, glued up, and it's actually now glued to my bottom of my kayak. So no matter what, if I pull up a flounder and I look at it and go, okay, winter flounder, 15 inches, woo, you know, 15 points, you know. So that way I know from now on that I
won't
go into that problem again.
That was pretty fun. I mean, you posted that up today on Yak Angler, and I thought that was really funny because, you know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's a money fish, and it'd be, you know, 18 and a half. I'm like, ah, come on, what do I got to do to get on board here, man?
We adjusted the minimum length for the Northeast region because they had a terrible freeze, and it kind of killed off a lot of the good reds. And last year there was only like a handful that were uploaded out of all those anglers, and we were just curious as to why, and I talked to some of the locals there, and they said, oh, well, here are the reasons, and then they gave us the reasoning, so we reduced it to 18 for that region for this upcoming season.
No kidding. I didn't know that. I didn't know that they had redfish mortalities up there, man. I thought they were kind of pretty hardy, and they could survive this. We had that with snook last year. Last winter, man, our snook population really took a hit. Due to the cold temperatures and everything. And I remember being out in, you know, Dunedin Marina in January last year. And it was just, you know, I was out there counting, you know, dead snook that were belly up, you know, that were, you know, 25-inch fish. You know, and it was a shame. And I really noticed it, you know, because the beaches, there wasn't so many snook on the beaches. The numbers were definitely down. Last year, or, you know, last summer, you know, more than what less than what was normally out there. So I didn't know about the redfish up there, though. So you got any, does your team get a prize if you win, or does the angler at the top of the pile at the end of the contest, they take home all the goodies? Is that how it works?
Kayak Wars was never meant to be an individual accomplishment. It was designed so that we could get the kayaking community together and, you know, kind of depend on other guys, because we're offshore kayak fishermen, and so we always went out in pairs, or, you know, and that sort of thing. And really this all kind of began because of the upper coast versus the lower coast, and we had some kayak anglers that were, you know, we had the guys from Houston and the guys from Corpus Christi, Texas, and, you know, we just kind of had a disagreement, if you will, about who was the better fisherman, and any self-respecting angler knows that this outright outrageous statement can't go unchallenged. So, you know, we decided to create Kayak Wars, and originally it was just a forum-based event. But it was built on the team structure, as in one team from the upper coast and one team from the lower coast was going to compete and who could catch more fish. And that's where it all began. And so when we started getting prizes for the event, everything that was building was going to be team-structured. So all the prizes that we get from all the different sponsors, like Hobie Fishing or, you know, Sun Jammers are, you know, two of our major sponsors, and they give us packs of five, you know, items of five, so that all the teams can, you know, get prizes and stuff. And so the things you might see are like squish seat cushions, or maybe like some ram mounts for each angler on the team, or maybe five hats, you know, from like Pelagic gear. Stuff like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was just talking to Brad from Sun Jammers, you know, and I was razzing him a little bit on Twitter the other day about, you know, every member of his team has a Hobie, you know, drives a Hobie. And I was like, you know, is that like a prerequisite or something to be on your team? And he's like, oh, no, it's just that's just how it kind of worked out, but I thought that was kind of funny.
Oh, see, I would have figured he'd have said, oh, well, you know, only the best fishermen fish from a Hobie. You know,
yeah. So. No, man, he was on the 8 o'clock show, and he was like, he didn't call in or anything, but just we have a chat room here, too. We get a bunch of people in there talking a bunch of stuff, but Yeah, man, it was it's a great so far. I'm really having fun with it, man. And you know, it gives us something to talk about and, you know, and crap around about, and you know, it kind of gives you a little bit of a purpose while you're out there, man. So
That's,
you know,
kind of what it's designed for, but
yeah.
Go ahead.
We well, you know, I got from Titusville online with us here. I've got Redfish Chuck, Chuck Levi. He fishes Mosquito Lagoon all the time, and he's a guide down there. And this is, I've got plenty of people to vouch for us, though. So, Chuck, how many redfish do you think that we put the sore mouth on Sunday?
Conservatively, my count somewhere right close to 200.
Yeah.
Between seven of us. It was a good day. A lot of fun. But I'll tell you what, if I could say a few things about Kayak Wars real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I do a lot of offshore fishing out of Port Canaveral, and I do a lot of tournament fishing as well. And you know what? Honestly, this has been the most fun event that I've been a part of in a long time because it's not really about, to me, it's not really about competition as far as us versus a different team or whatever. It's just, it's fun to track what you've done, you know, and it's cool to look back and say, wow, I put in, you know, six or seven good quality fish over the course of two trips or whatever the case, or in my case, you know, catch 9-point fish and have the wrong date on my camera and not be able to use them. So, you know, you definitely learn a lot from the event itself, you know. And that definitely killed me. That took a lot of wind out of my sails. And I got home and I realized that my camera reset itself and because the batteries had died, and I missed out on getting 9 quality fish on the board. But you know, like you say, it's a learning curve. It definitely makes you a better angler, in my opinion, because you're no longer just out there looking to catch a fish. Now you're out there looking to catch a quality fish, you know, because I don't have a problem catching rat reds personally. I mean, if it tugs on the end of the pole, I like catching it. And so, you know, it's good stuff. But, yeah, I appreciate you guys putting that together and making it a free event is pretty cool, you know, especially in these economic times. It's kind of tough to get involved in a lot of the big money tournaments and stuff, and this is just a fun way for us to get together as a group, as a whole, as a kayak community, you know, and kind of show our numbers and show how good of anglers we actually have in this community. So it's a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
We just about had the whole band together there on Sunday, minus Haywood. And, man, I'm telling you, that's like the first time. I mean, I've been fishing, like, most of my life. And that was the first time I had to lay the fishing pole down and say, man, I got to take a break because my wrist is locked up and my hand is, like, permanently stuck in that grip in the fishing pole position, you know. So it was a lot of fun, man. It was great. And big fish of the day, Chip Gibson, the 8 o'clock host, picked up a 32.5-inch redfish. We were playing redfish rodeo, you know, like chasing them around. That was fun for a few minutes anyway.
And then it turned into shooting redfish in a barrel, basically fishing at
SeaWorld. Seriously, I have never seen redfish act like that before, and you could cast, and it was like I've never seen anything like it. They were jumping out of practically. They were meeting the bait as it hit the water. You know, just a little soft plastics, DOA shad tails, blurt baits, stuff like that. You know,
chicken
just
on
all
a chain.
Soft. Yeah, chicken on a chain, bass or saltwater assassin, chicken on a chain. I mean, basically everything that you could throw was getting hammered immediately. So it was a blast. I've never seen redfish like that ever.
That's awesome.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm sorry, buddy.
Oh, I was just going to say, we don't usually get into them like that here in Texas, so I bet that was quite a sight.
Oh, it was fun.
Well, you know, the lagoon's a special place. If you've never had an opportunity to make it over here to Central Florida and fish it, it's as far as kayaking goes, to me, it's close to heaven as I think I'm going to get until I see my day with God. But it's a very, very interesting location to fish because you've got the best of both extremes. You've got some fish that move in off the ocean, like groupers. You get some groupers in the channel and stuff like that. But yet you go from like 6 foot of water to 6 inches in a matter of seconds. And the fishing, the water clarity right now, and the guys can vouch for that, the water clarity around me right now is, you can see the bottom in 6 foot. You can watch crabs crawl across the bottom in 6 foot of water. It's pretty impressive. And, the number of fish that are in the Mosquito Lagoon, it's just ridiculous. I mean, it is, to me, a world-famous fishery. And the opportunity that we had to get out together as a team and as buddies, you know, it was a lot of fun. And you know what? I mean, I invite any of you guys from Texas or whatever to come over and fish. And anytime you guys want to make a trip over here, I'd be more than happy to put you guys or try to put you guys on some fish. Obviously, it's fishing. You can't guarantee it. But, you know, it's definitely a place you have to fish before you die. It's one of those bucket list type of things, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was really
videos. Go ahead. On that too. Oh, I've watched some good videos that some fly fishermen have put together on that area, and it seems like a really great place. I think Costa Del Mar did a little special on that area too once.
Oh yeah, that I was really surprised at the water clarity. I mean, it was like the Keys, you know, as far as like and that really surprised me there, because I wouldn't expect that from, a place like that, where it's you don't have, I know there's tides washing in and out of there, but it's not like, somewhere else where it would get, a full clean out like all the time. I was really surprised at that, man, about how you Chuck told me, oh yeah, it's crystal clear and everything, and I'm like, okay, until you get there, but another cool thing about Sunday out at the lagoon was Chuck picked up his first redfish on a fly. Now Chuck, you've caught thousands and thousands of redfish. And how is it that was your first one on a fly? I mean, do you just not fly fish or what?
No, it's very simple. I bring a fly rod with me almost every trip. And after about four or five casts to a tailing fish and after about four or five refusals, I get aggravated and I grab my spinner rod and I put a hook at the side of his face. So, I've got enough confidence in my fishing abilities and in that spinning reel, but I know that if I see a fish, there's a good possibility I'm going to ram a hook through his corner of his mouth. So the idea of making cast after cast after cast after cast at a fish and getting turned down numerous times is just, it bothers me, And
yeah.
it almost aggravates me to the point to where I want to pull a Bill Dance and rip his face off kind of hook set, So can't really do that on a fly rod, and so the next best thing is grabbing that spinner rod. And I've never gone out, honest to God, I've never gone out on the water and left the spinning rod at home. And in my opinion, if you want to be a good fly fisherman, you almost have to do that, because you can't have that spinner reel as a crutch. You really gotta just dedicate yourself to throwing that fly. But the best part about Sunday, in my opinion, was, or for me personally, not only getting that redfish on the fly, but getting it on a fly that I tied was really cool. But watching one of our fellow teammates' son catch two fish in three casts first thing in the morning and beat all of us really experienced anglers to catching fish, to me that was awesome,
Yeah, it was really neat, man. Before I turn it into Mosquito Lagoon radio, which is what we ought to do, you know, so you got any fishing going on this weekend, Rick? What's the weather like out there in Texas?
We have southeast winds about, I don't know, 10 to 15 miles per hour, and seas are like 2 to 3 feet, you know. So when I talk about weather, I'm only interested in offshore. I could care less what it's doing in the bays, you know. So because I really haven't redfished or trout fished in ages. But I was planning to head out to Houston and actually, you know, try and get onto this drum run every year in late February, early March time frame, and it could even go into April. The black drum will migrate from offshore inshore to spawn, and then they head back out offshore again. And these drums get huge. They're started, you know, 32 inches and end up, you know, ranging from there to 55 inches. We've caught some monsters.
Wow.
And, they hit only on fresh crack crab, and we can't get them on anything else, it seems like. And but that's what I was planning on doing this weekend if the sea conditions are reasonable. So, and it does take a southeast wind, you know, to kind of get them into motion, and that's kind of what I've been waiting on. And we've had these northers blow through a couple times, kind of stall the things a little bit, but we've got a good southeast wind blowing, so I'm hoping they'll be out there and I'll just pop some monsters.
That's awesome. What kind of kayak do you fish out of?
I fish out of a Hobie Outback.
Nice.
Yeah. I like
nice.
It. It's got lots of custom modifications. I've probably put more holes and repaired more holes than I care to talk about, but I've added a lot of stuff to it and a lot of custom mods, because I bought the boat in 2002 when they had just come out with the Mirage Drive.
Wow.
The Outback, and it's an older model, and so it's not designed real well for the angler. But I've kind of configured it to the way that I wanted it to be, and it's a great little boat. I like it a lot, and I can store half my house on that thing, and which you know, doesn't really matter because I'm pedaling around with my feet. So
yeah,
that's what I primarily fish out of. So.
That's awesome. You know, it's everybody has their own preferences with kayaks, and we were talking about this weekend. You know, there's no real perfect kayak for every situation. Now, for some situations, some are better than others. You know, but one thing I found out about mine is that it's a dog, man, as far as speed wise. And I was out there, you know, with a lot of oceans and emotion kayaks and Hobies and natives, you know, primarily over the weekend, and I was like at the end of the, you know, everybody else is like 100 yards in front of me, you know, going through these creeks in Jacksonville and stuff. I'm like, hey, wait for me, you know. And I drive a Malibu Stealth 12, so it's a big old barge aircraft carrier, you know, battle wagon thing. So, but I love it, you know. I mean, I love all of its capabilities and everything, and it works really good for me. I don't really care about speed that much, you know. It doesn't really bother me. But you know, it's when you're with a group of, you know, 15 people, you know, it'd be nice to kind of, you know, keep up with them a little bit. So, you know, it's just everybody has their, you know, each kayak has, you know, we were looking at them and saying, well, you know, this one looks, you know, you're sitting on the floor basically on that one. So it's like, you know, that's going to be a really wet ride and such. So, you know, it was a good discussion, you know, it gave me an idea to write some articles about it and everything. So, well, anyway, yeah, right. Hammerhead on the chat room, he's Greg, he's a Malibu guy too. He's an X-Factor guy. He says, yeah, yaks are speedsters. Yeah, right, if you say so. Well, Rick, man, I'm really glad that you came on, man. You're welcome to come on the show anytime. Just, you know the number, give us a call. We're here at 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Anytime you want to come in and talk about kayak fishing or anything you want to talk about, man, come on back.
Sure, yeah, and if you guys want, you know, to talk a little bit about mid-year, about who you think is going to win or what, you know, because we're going to be doing some mid-year contests Sunjammers Water Sports last year did stuff like that, where we had some kind of unique contests put together where it was a little more individual angler-based, but it kind of gave anglers a chance to win whenever their team wasn't pulling their weight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we can talk about those and, you know, in future shows or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you want to come on, you're always welcome, man. So okay. We're here at 8 and 11 every Thursday.
I got a quick question for you. Good.
Yeah.
This spring I'm planning on taking, I saw your mothership rules and such. This spring I'm planning on going over to the east side of our Gulf Stream quite a bit with the kayak. And my question is with regards to catching big pelagics and the dangers and so on and so forth. If I am fortunate enough to get into some 80-pound yellowfins, which is not uncommon out of my coast, what's the best plan of attack for me to take pictures of that fish so that I can get credit for it and you know, not have to go through any kind of problems? Because I really don't feel like putting an 80-pound fish on my lap.
No, especially a big yellowfin like that. I mean, unless you plan on fighting him for 2 hours and then he just dies on you, you know. But the best way, I mean, we've had anglers do all sorts of stuff. I mean, if you can get them, like big pelagics like that, if you can get them up next to the kayak and maybe have a buddy take a picture where they're kind of out of the water, or, you know, that'll suffice for kayak wars. You know, if you've got the leader in your hands and it's a landed fish, you know, we'll trust you. But, you know, if you're going to take them home or whatever, big pelagics that are over 30 inches or more will allow dead fish to be uploaded, you know, especially for fish like that. You know, if you planned on harvesting the yellowfin, which I sure would hope that you would, you know, catch it and take a, you know, money shot, get him in the kayak, you know, after he's blood is spilled or whatever it is, how you ever prepare it, and take the photo that way.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Yeah. So, all right. The same thing with the billfish, too. If you guys get into those, you know, live baiting some sails or something like that, just try to get the best shot you can. And even, you know, a fish jumping out of the water next to the kayak is pretty awesome. We like to see good photos too. So if you get some good ones like that, I'd rather have that than an old colored up, you know, black sailfish that's, you know, too tired. I'd rather have one all lit up and jumping next to you, you know.
You know, it's Chuck, you could take pictures from the of the fish from the mothership, you know, with your fish in the kayak.
No, that's a good idea. No, that's probably what I'll do. I'll have the mothership take photos of me while I'm fighting the fish and get the fish as close as I can to me. So
yeah,
good idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea too. Yeah,
you just got to paddle it over there, you know.
They're going to be shadowing me, man. I don't want that mothership too far away from me, that far on the other side of the Gulf Stream. So they'll be hugging close to me as tight as they can. So yeah, that'll be awesome. I appreciate that.
Cool. Well, we've been on the line with Rick Underbrink from one of the founders of Kayak Wars, man. So we're gonna let him go. And thank you, Rick, again for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and hopefully maybe some more kayak participants out there will want to join in on some of the fun and maybe have a chance at winning some good prizes. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just today on Kayak Wars, a couple of people were asking, you know, because we were talking about it, and they were like, you know, what's Kayak Wars? And I was like, really? I mean, we've been talking about it for, you know, a month almost now, you know. So it was good to see, you know, it's good to tell them about it, and I think that they liked it, you know. And just want to say, I mean, I myself really love the concept, man. So thank you guys for putting that out there, man. It's been a lot of fun.
Sure thing. Thanks.
All right.
We appreciate it very much.
That was Rick from Kayak Wars, man. Let's hear it, kids. All right. right. Got to have these kids weigh in there. All right, Rick, man. Thank you, and we'll talk to you later, man.
All right. Adios.
See ya. All right, man. That was cool, man. I had no idea that they were in Texas. I thought they were East Coast folks. But that was cool, man. I'm glad that he came on and answered some questions for us and stuff. And I guess that kind of makes sense. So hopefully, Haywood, if you're listening to the podcast, hopefully you got the answers to your questions there right from the horse's mouth. So that's awesome. So now, after a quick break here from our sponsors, yakangler.com, we want to make sure that, this is our new show now, and it is called Mosquito Lagoon Radio. And let me go ahead and see if we can get this going here. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to play the whole intro again. So anyway, so it was a cool and foggy early morning at Mosquito Lagoon on Sunday. There's me, there's Landing Crew, there's Chip, there's the clone, there's Dee, there's Redfish Chuck. And there we are into the mists of the barely light enough to see Mosquito Lagoon. And what happens? We caught 200 redfish. Oh man, I've never seen anything like it. But you know, that was like the highlight of our trip. But you know, we actually had a pretty fun day fishing on Saturday too. The creeks there, the tidal creeks there in Jacksonville. Mark, would you say that you had a good time that day, man?
You know, I was very disappointed. In the crystal clear water of Jacksonville, and the bad company. I mean,
yeah, whatever.
Real jerks. Nah, everyone. I'm kidding. If you ever get a chance to fish that area, if you're a bass fisherman like I am, you roll up and you see these reeds, see muddy bottom with the transition to a point with some oyster bed, a.k.a. rocks, and it's pretty flat, calm, with the occasional, stink pot, motorboat whizzing by at 1,000 miles an hour, busting his transom on a shoal. That's another story.
Oh, God, that was great. You got to tell that story, Mark.
It's perfect for that bass fishing, mentality of, pitching in those reeds and finding them. Now, for that story, early in the day, we had a gentleman or several gentlemen come out on their little, skiff boats, waking us. And we had a bunch of kids and women, first-timers that, panicked when these guys went by. Because they went by, like, 20 feet away, waking them, with huge waves. And, a lot of us were, we're doing the, the censored moment where you hold your hands at the kids' ears, because it's uncalled for. So on the way back in, everyone else had left me, Charlie Polachek, a.k.a. Harley, and Greg Hammerhead behind, and we're, paddling up, and these guys come whipping around this corner, and they hit one of the sandbars, so they get out, and, they've got, cold, frosty, really nasty-tasting beverages, in their hands, and they're hooting and hollering and everything else until they found deep water again. You hear them crank up the engine and, go off in the distance, and you hear, boom, the cracking sounds where ooh, he's bad. we see that sound of unhappiness. So we get back in the kayaks and we're just taking our time because the tide's really low. And we come around the corner and here we see them. It's two boats, by the way. The one boat pulled over the side of the other boat. They're dumping water out of.
or you can paddle up. They've got one of the outboards in the other boat. Transom is complete, which is the stern, the back of the boat where the motor goes for you non-boating illiterates. Eventually you'll get there. and, you know, just the whole back end is ripped off. And Charlie, who, if you ever seen Charlie, he looks like that guy in many of the really older biker movies. He's a really skinny guy, beard, you know. You can tell he's been through a lot, you know.
Great dude, though, man. He was a great
really
dude.
Great dude, you know. One of those guys where, you know, you start talking to him, next thing you know, he's giving you a big hug and, you know.
And he knows about fishing up there, too, because that guy spent time with every single one of us showing us how to catch fish there, man. And he helped me catch a couple of trout there, you know, just sitting there. And he's like, okay, you know, here's how you want to work that, you know, and here's, let me show you, let me give you this jig head, and let me give you this, here, try this lure, and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
and Charlie hooked up on a really nice black drum, and, you know, as soon as he hooked up, the clone, Tree Hugger's son, you know, was about 100 yards away, and Charlie's like, hurry up, get down here, and Charlie played the fish, you know, a little bit, you know, to keep lying on the reel. This fish was hauling down the creek. You know, until he got there, and he handed the rod off, and he coached him, and, you know, everything else, and brought in a beautiful black drum. You know, and I think next to, you know, Chip and the clone, Charlie had the biggest smile on his face. And, then, you know, you can tell a lot by a person by how their actions are and the karma that they create, and that's what I was trying to get to, is Charlie believes in karma. We paddle around these guys. And you see Charlie just holding it back. He's like, you know what, guys, you know, you got to be careful at low tide. This place is dangerous. Karma's a biatch as he paddles away.
Oh, man. So let me ask you this. Have you invested in, you know, like a case of aloe after sun gel or anything like that, Mark? Because for those of you that don't know. Yeah,
it wasn't that painful. It was just one of those burns where it looked really bad, and the heat coming off my face was pretty bad. But otherwise, it wasn't, you know, as hard. But you know, when fishing gets tough, I turn to Buff Sunwear to keep my face from burning from now on. Two thumbs up. Lucky smile.
Yeah. You know, for those of you that don't know, the landing crew is quite fair-skinned, and he got it both Saturday and Sunday. So he was looking like he was standing next to a red neon sign by the time we got back in on Sunday. So Chuck, man, why don't you tell us a little bit? Why don't you tell us a story about Mosquito Lagoon there, man, and our trip on Sunday? Since I don't know, I mean, I posted up my blog post and my article about it, and I don't think anybody believed me because I didn't get any comments on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you write so well, dude. There's no reason for me to write a report. well. It was definitely not a normal fishing day on the Mosquito Lagoon. I'm fortunate enough to live roughly 15 minutes from there, so it's kind of, I would like to call it my backyard, and it is home to probably the best red fishery in the entire country as far as I'm concerned. Maybe Louisiana might have me beat out, but it's a close second if it's not number one. I don't know, man. It was awesome from the get-go. As soon as you guys showed up, I was pumped. You know, I was glad to finally meet you guys face-to-face. And it was funny because I had, like this brotherhood mentality already with you guys before I'd even met you face-to-face. It was like I've known you guys for a long time. Our conversations throughout the day were pretty funny, and, you know, we kept each other kind of on our toes a little bit. But like I said, we started off the morning nice and early, got on the water. I took the clone kind of under my wing, so to speak, right away, and I kind of saw them to move a little bit towards the shoreline, had to make one cast, and the first cast of the day catches a little rat red, and that was pretty cool. kind of a nice way to break the ice. And what, two casts after that, he's got a decent little trout on the end of the line. And yeah, it was cool. It was a lot of fun. going into the mist, I mean, that's typical for this time of year. We get a lot of fog over the lagoon.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool. I wish we just saw more tailing fish throughout the day, honestly, like true tailing fish. Those fish that we were catching, every now and again, they'd pop a tail out. But I wish we'd have seen some more bigger fish. But I guess you can't complain when you catch over 200 in a day. But, you know, it was fun. I took off my direction because I knew that there had been some big fish that way, and I was looking for fish to put up on the board. And, you know, I saw the cluster of you guys back over there by the island, and made my way over there and saw two or three of you guys hooked up with fish, and I knew that there was no need to leave. Made a few casts, caught a couple fish right away, and I don't know. I think the funniest part of the day was listening to Mark laughing about the fact that that was like his 30th fish, and then he's like, oh, that's number 35, and then, oh, that's number 40, this is crazy. And, you know, that was a lot of fun. One thing we didn't talk about on the last show was the fact that Mark Yak Sushi never made it down. And I actually kind of gave him a little razz on the Yak Angler. I told him he needed to turn in his man card to Adam right away for not making it down. And I got him on Facebook with that, too. So, Mark, if you listen to the podcast, your man card has been removed from your possession, and you're not allowed to get it back until you prove that you are indeed a man. So there you go.
The worst part about it was that me, Chip, and the rest of the crew got there, and all right, everyone went out for dinner. That's cool. We got a call. You know, we called him up. He's like, yeah, we're down here at the Sand Dollar, and, you know, there's barely any food left to keep on telling us, you know, to change orders. That's fine. You know, hey, we'll catch you at the site when we get back. So we ran over, you know, just north of the campsite to Zaxby's, you know, and, you know, I'm not going to do the shameless plug for them. But, you know, we came back, and we were gone for less than an hour. All the cars and everything's dark, and where is everyone? You know, we're expecting, you know, be able to sit around and, you know, BS and everything. Apparently, they got back and didn't want to hear us gloating about our, you know, redfish smackdown. So they all went down to bed. It's like, 7:30, come on, guys, really? It's like,
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
I mean, you know, I appreciate you guys making the trip down. I know that's kind of a long drive. And, you know, me and Dee, you know, the funny thing about that spot is I found that spot, well, not exactly that spot, but I found that flat, a week prior? When I messed up my dates on my camera. I told Dee about it. She had asked me where I caught those fish, so I let her know where those places are at. See, because I don't hold any secrets, because I don't care if you know where I fish, because I'm going to fish there the next day, and there'll be fish there for me. So she went out there, and she did pretty good, and she told me she had seen a lot of about 300 fish, which, you know, is pretty cool to hear, but it's not uncommon for the lagoon, and most of the places where I fish hold those kinds of numbers. It's just a matter of whether or not you can find them or even get them to eat. And once you get them to eat, like I said before, usually those big schools just take off in all kinds of directions, and it's hard to kind of stay on them. So she had done pretty good, and then when you guys split off, I had a feeling she knew where she was going, being the fisherwoman that she is. So, you know, I just let y'all do your thing. I wanted to really try and find some big fish, man. And I found a couple of decent fish right off the bat. But I don't know if you guys ever saw that one flats boat that was working the area. I saw a couple tails pop up, and he jumped up on a plane, and they immediately darted off, and they never had a shot. That's why I turned around and came back. But, no, it was good. It was a lot of fun. You know, you guys were fun to fish with, and I'm glad you guys had a good time. And hopefully you guys can get back down again sometime soon, and we can do it all over again, and hopefully with the same success. I doubt it, but maybe, possibly.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you know, I know that every day isn't going to be like that. That's what makes it so enjoyable, you know? And, you know, I was telling the clone, man, I was like, dude, you know, you'll remember this. When you're my age, you'll remember this, you know? if this will go down in his, at least you should anyway. You know, and that's what makes fishing so much fun, is because when you have days like that, then it makes the days that you, when you go out and you catch, you know, two fish or zero fish, you know, worthwhile. You know, sometimes the fishing gods throw you a bone and you just, you know, everything works out for you, man. But,
God, I'm sorry.
I got to say, man, I'm really glad that, thank you, a big thank you to you and Dee both. You guys are awesome. And I don't know why anybody would want to, you know, go down there, you know, without taking one of you guys with them, because you guys really know what the heck you're doing. I was really, one thing about Dee that was, you know, it's really funny because, you know, you talk to people and everything, and you figure stuff about people, you know, that kind of surprises you. She didn't sit down on that kayak the entire day, I don't think, you know, maybe twice. But I'm telling you, man, I've never seen anybody do that where, you know, stand up and paddle all day, you know, like she does. And that was, I was pretty impressed by that. You know, she runs around on that native like it's a flats boat or something, you know. So that was, I was impressed with that.
I'll tell you what, I actually bought my wife a native ultimate, and I've got it actually, I'm looking at it right now in my garage. It's a hell of a boat. It really is. I mean, obviously my Alliance goes with Emotion, but I'm a big fan of that native ultimate. I think it's a great stand-up boat, and the way that boat is designed, it makes it very comfortable to stand. And, no, every time I've ever fished with Dee, that's pretty much what she does. I don't think I've seen her sit down more than maybe a dozen times in the few times I fished with her. So, but, you know, and we can go on and on and on and talking about how good she is as an angler. She knows she's good, you know, and that's, she knows she's good, but she's not arrogant about it. And in this industry, it's hard to find people that are really that good at what they do and not full of themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I consider myself a pretty darn good angler. Personally,
yeah, you are.
And, you know, it's just, it's refreshing to fish with somebody that even challenges me on a level that it's just stupid. Like, she does things that just make my head spin. It's like, did she really just do that? Like, she really just caught a flounder in the middle of a redfish hole, fishing soft plastic that's a keeper edible size fish, like in the middle of the lagoon. Really? You know? Like, that's crazy to me. Like, I know it happens, but it's still, and then she caught another one on the way back to the ramp. It's like, I just fished the same spot you just fished, and I did not catch that fish. You did. You're awesome. You know? But Dee is awesome, man. I love her to death. I think she's a great woman. She's a great friend. She's a great steward of the sport. You know, she's obviously very enthusiastic about it, and you know, I hope that rubs off on other females and gets them more involved in what we do. You know, obviously our sport is mainly a male driven sport, but you know, it's nice to see the ladies out there every now and again getting dirty with it, you know, trying to catch some fish and being successful with it. You know, my wife fishes with me every now and again, and she's a heck of a fishwoman herself, and I'll admit it. She's put the whooping on me a few times, and you know, it's nice. You know, it's a good thing. You know,
it is.
You guys, you know what? Like with this radio show, I've said it before. I'll say it again. The radio show with Yak Angler, now Kayak Wars. It's really given the sport kind of a pedestal to kind of show other people that look, we do deserve the respect that you guys get for fishing out of a fiberglass boat, you know? So,
oh, absolutely, man. In fact, I think it's probably, you know, easier to jump in a boat, you know, and motor, you know, motor down the road, you know, wherever, to get to where you're going. You know, that's definitely easier. But, you know, we can launch our kayaks from anywhere, too, where boats can't always do that. So, you know, I think it's you know, you got to have that added physical skill, you know, because anybody can jump in a boat and, you know, take off to wherever you're going. So you got to have that. You got to be able to paddle, and you got to be able to handle a kayak. And then, you know, if the weather turns and stuff, you know, you got to be able to handle that. Chuck, have you seen Kayak Kevin's DVD by any chance?
Yeah, I've seen short previews of a couple of his different things he's put out. I know he's done some other things besides just the DVD. The guy's a good fisherman, man. I enjoy watching what he does, and you know, I actually kind of inspire to be. Kind of like the Florida version of Kayak Kevin and Salmons or whatever his name is over there in the West Coast. I really,
yeah.
You know, I enjoy promoting the sport, and I really want to kind of get more into filming and doing that kind of thing. His take on things is pretty cool. I like the way that he puts the information together in a DVD form to kind of make it exciting to watch, you know. It's not exactly the most exciting thing in the world to see a guy paddling around on the flat aimlessly looking for fish or across a bay looking for a spade fish underneath a bridge or whatever, but, you know, to make it exciting, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was some pretty extreme stuff that they were doing out there, too. Definitely a lot more extreme than the stuff that we do here. You know, getting out to the, you know, with some of the wave action that they were having to deal with and stuff.
Yeah, I know you're all about that you're in that same neighborhood there and you deal with that same stuff, and you know, man, honest to God, it's like I really wish I had more time. I wish I had more time to fish with guys from other areas, because I really enjoy just listening to the stories of how things are where they're at, like Virginia, the Carolinas, up north, up in New England and stuff like that. It's fun for me to be able to spend the day on a flat in a foot and a half of water and just talk, you know, and just pick up information, because, you know, I learned something from Mark, you know. I learned something from you. I learned that I could take a nap on the way back to the truck from you. I learned that I should never, you know, de-hook my fish before measuring it from you.
Yeah, right. Hey, I'll tell you what. Now let me ask you this. You know, Chip's getting the T-shirts done up. You know, with the caricatures of all of us that participated in the boondoggle there in the Mosquito Lagoon and everything. Now, what I want to know is what's going above my caricature? Is it the D Chuck? Get it off!
Get it off!
Yeah, because what I didn't mention here yet is that you know, the clone got the first two fish, but the third fish was me. And what I did was I foul hooked a stingray at the base of the tail, right? So I'm trying to figure out, number one, how to get this thing under control, because all it's doing is trying to swim away from me, you know. And it's like dragging my kayak around, right? It wasn't a huge stingray or anything like that. It was probably about the size of a dinner plate, I would say. And, you know, I couldn't figure out. I'm like, okay, if it was in its mouth or something like that, okay, you know, you could probably control it a little bit better. And heck, I might even bring that up in the kayak with me and get the hook, you know, get the hook out, or, you know, cut it off, one of the two. So I could not figure for the life of me how I was going to get a hold of that thing and get the hook out of it. It's in the base of its tail. I mean, if you get near that, you're going to get, you know, stingray tail right in your flipping hand. So I had to have Chuck came over and was nice enough to get that off, get the hook out for me, man. And thank you so much, because that was freaking me out there a little bit.
No
now,
problem.
Is it going to be
I risk life and limb to help you out.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate that. Now, what was the other thing that? What was the other? I'm serious.
Thanks.
What was the other thing that happened, Mark? What was the other quote that would go over top of my caricature on the boondoggle T-shirt, roadshow T-shirt? There was one more thing that happened that was. I can't think of it.
I know definitely. You know, hey, could you put an X on the water where exactly you caught that fish?
Spray paint an X.
Five minutes. That's all I heard.
Mark gets the get the net. Where's the net? I need a net. over the top of his for sure for that 23 inch fish, whatever.
No, he's going to get the. He's going to get the. What's on the screen?
He got a net.
He's going to get the what sun. It's going to be what sunscreen over top of Mark.
Oh yeah, what sunscreen? Yeah.
Yeah.
And
no, I thought
funny, dude. I gotta say that kind of I didn't laugh on the outside because I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but I was laughing on the inside, dude. That was pretty good. Get the net. I need a net.
Yeah,
I'm expecting
and I'm,
like a 40-inch fish. He pulls
yeah.
up like a mid-slot fish. I'm like, really? The net?
I know. And I'm like, I'm looking at him, and he's doing the leg kick. You know, like the you know the fish comes up next to the you know that you do with the big stripers up there and stuff. He's like doing the leg lift into the kayak and stuff. I was like, it's not like you know Red October or something. You know.
Oh Lord.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. It was a lot of fun. That's all I got to say. It was a lot of fun. I'm glad you guys enjoyed yourself.
You know,
By the way, I heard you say that Hammerhead or whatever is listening in on the chat room or whatever.
I saw
earlier that he had posted that he's in Cape Canaveral. Well, he needs to show up at my shop at some point since I'm right down the street from where he is apparently.
Yeah, I believe he's at Disney right now, but he's almost got his wife convinced to let him out for a day to get over there. So, you know, we definitely told him that if he didn't, he was crazy because he's got his kayak with him and everything.
Well, I hope he enjoyed that shuttle launch today. It was impressive. It was a beautiful launch. So,
was that right around 5 o'clock or so?
Yeah. Well, it was around 4:50, 4:55, somewhere in there. Yeah, right around 5.
Yeah, because everybody was running out of the office right before 5 o'clock and looking out that direction. I figured that's
there?
What it was. Yeah, oh, yeah, we can see it from over here.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's not, you know, quite as good as when you see it, you know, from your perspective over there, I'm sure.
Yeah, all I have to do is open up my son's blinds in his bedroom, and I could see it go up directly east from our house. So, yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Oh, Chuck Hammerhead says he's thinking about heading over there on Sunday.
Yeah, well, that might work out. I might be off on Sunday. But if he wants to do some fishing, I don't know that I'll be able to fish because I got family day, I think, Sunday, since I got a trip booked for Tuesday. So I don't know that I'll be able to fish Sunday and Tuesday, but we'll see. I know Dee will probably be available, and obviously that would be a good bet for him. She knows what's going on.
Yeah. I know what the other stupid thing is, because I was just going to say, hey, Greg, just show up over there and just, you know, launch your kayak and start fishing. You'll catch something. No, I'm kidding. No, the other thing was they warned us ahead of time to put on some DEET, right? And before you get there, you know, stop off, put on some DEET. You know, they don't call it Mosquito Lagoon for nothing, right? So, I was like, okay, you know, no biggie. Well, I was too busy chain smoking at the, you know, chain smoking and fixing my coffee at 7-Eleven that, you know, by the time the Chipmobile was leaving, I didn't have time to put on some DEET. So I get there and we get out of the Chipmobile and I'm like immediately covered in mosquitoes, like instantly. It was like I set foot out of the truck. I'm not even out of the truck yet. And it's like, you know, my leg, it looks like I'm wearing pants, you know, and I got shorts on. So definitely, if you're going over there, Greg, on Sunday, make sure you put the DEET on ahead of time because that, you know, I'll tell you right now, they don't call it Mosquito Lagoon for nothing, man. And even after, even later on in the day, you might want to reapply it because they're pretty bad over there, man. Does it get worse in the summertime, Chuck?
No, you're experiencing the spring hatch of mosquitoes. So it's it pretty much stays about the same throughout the summer. And you don't really see them too often in the wintertime. They get dormant or they all die. But, you know, that's like our version of the no-see-em, or sand flea. We don't really get the no-see-ems and sand fleas too terribly bad at the lagoon, but we get the mosquitoes, obviously. And, you know, it is one of those things. Just got to kind of grin and bear it and deal with it. I don't usually wear bug spray of any kind, because I'm pretty quick about unloading and getting in the water. And usually once you paddle away from the shoreline and get away from it a little bit, they kind of tend to leave you alone. So.
Yeah, well, but, they were, you know, me and Chip are talking about, you know, getting back over there around spring break or bike week or something. And I said, you know, why don't we just camp out there? And he was like, are you kidding me? By then the mosquitoes will be carrying us away in the middle of the night. I'm like,
well,
no,
I mean,
man, I think we'll
camp,
be good.
If you can't, just, you mean, have a thermocell and or a couple of
yeah.
them, and then, you know, light your fire at night and let the fire go all night long, and it'll keep them away for, you know, for the most part. But I don't know. I mean, I think if you guys get an opportunity to come over here and camp actually on the lagoon, that's a pretty cool thing to do. And it's one of those, it'll be like the trip you guys just had here. It's one of those that you'll remember forever because, you know, basically you wake up in the morning and you're in the middle of God's country. And that's what makes the Mosquito Lagoon so awesome is that there's no runoff. There's no development in the south end, which is where we fish. And, you know, the only thing that used to be there was old Florida cracker houses, and those are gone since NASA moved in. So, you know, you've got no natural or unnatural runoff, really, to speak of. And so lets that water stay nice and clear. And it's here in the ocean on the other side of the dunes is pretty cool. And it's just it's a really cool trip, man. It really is. And it is pretty diverse as far as the fishery goes. I really enjoy being here. It's, me and my wife were kidding around a couple of times saying, no, maybe we'll move up to the Carolinas or Georgia or something. I'm never leaving. I can't leave this area, man. The fishing's too good. The people around here are really nice. And, you know, it's a good spot to be. Good place to take the family on a vacation. Brevard County.
Oh, woo. Yeah. No, but, hey, you know, that's the kind of camping trip that I like, man. I like getting out where there's no light pollution, there's no people. And, I mean, seriously, that's what it's all about for me, man. You know, now, Little Talbot, that was a really great area to camp in. That was a great campground for that style of camping. But, man, for me, getting out somewhere where there's, you know, I don't need electric, I don't need a bathroom, I don't need a shower or anything like that. And just getting out there, you know, and just, you know, enjoying the silence, you know, the solitude and everything. That's what it's all about for me, man. That's flipping awesome. So,
yeah,
you know, that's what I'd rather do that than go to a state park any day.
Yeah, well, I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to try and organize a big trip in a couple of years, not now, obviously. My boys are too young, but when my boys are old enough to go with me, I want to organize a trip to cross the state of Florida down in the south end, down around Okeechobee. I want to cross from the east side of the state over to the west side of the state using the Okeechobee Canal and that kind of thing. There's a waterway that will actually take you from the Atlantic side to the Gulf side, and it'll probably take you a good week or so paddle to get across, maybe a little bit longer, but I think that would be a really cool trip, you know?
Yeah, that... Hey, make sure you videotape it, man. That would be an awesome trip. Are you kidding me?
Or maybe in a couple of years, we all get together and do the Yak Angler, you know, boondoggle from east to west or west to east, you know.
Yeah, it'd be a lot
of fun.
That
would be an awesome trip.
I got a buddy of mine that's done it a couple of times in bigger boats where he's, you know, had to move boats from one side of the coast to the other, and that's one of the ways that he's gone about doing it, is going, you know, cheating, kind of cutting across. And I asked him a few questions about it, and he says, dude, there's all kinds of places to stop along the way. There's fish camps, and there's, you know, campgrounds and whatnot. So, you know, it might take you, like I say, it might take you a week, might take you a little bit longer, depending on how fast you want to go, but it'd be a good summertime activity, I think, when my boys are out of school and, you know, we can get the family together and a bunch of friends like you guys all down here and, you know, see what we can't do. It'll be pretty epic, you know.
Absolutely, man. Hey, I tell you, man, I love that. I had a fun weekend with everybody. And, you know, the camp, I mean, even though it was like we were rushing around, I mean, it seemed like, time to get up at 6 o'clock, you know, you're getting your stuff together and down to the ramp and launching. And then, you know, you get back, it's like dark by the time you take a shower and get something to eat. And, you know, you got to go to bed because you got to get up at 3 o'clock to go to Mosquito Lagoon. It was epic. I mean, I loved all that stuff, but it was kind of rushing around a lot, man. I mean, we were on the water a lot and fishing a lot, man. So that was really cool. And also we had to slog back too, man. I don't know if anybody mentioned it, but we came back in. And on Saturday, and we had to, you know, the last mile or so of that creek bed, there wasn't enough water in it to float your kayak. So we had to, like, drag our kayaks back, you know, ankle-deep water all the way until we got around the last bend. And I was, like, asking Chip, I'm like, is this some sort of screwed-up, like, Marine Corps joke or something? And we came around the last bend there, and it was the last 150 yards was bone dry, man. We had to actually pick up our kayaks and carry them in that extra that last 150 yards, man. So we call it the Great President's Day slog from now on, you know, that part of it. But you know, it was part of it. It was fun. You know, we had a great weekend, and, you know, getting everybody together is a blast, man. We had a blast on Friday night sitting around the campfire and talking and everything, man. That was a lot of fun. And I'm sure that Mark's favorite part was driving the 20 hours from my house all the way home. That was his favorite part. I know it. And getting sunburned to death.
That was a rough drive, man.
Yeah, I was feeling bad
only
for you, man.
Station, have y'all ever drive the 95 through North Carolina? Little tip, have a bunch of CDs or iPod, because you get basically four stations. Mexican Channel, talk radio, and then two Christian channels. And I don't like listening to the God stuff when I'm trying to drive, because I'm one of those guys in the back pew in church sleeping. So those two were out of the picture. I don't speak Spanish very well, so that was out of the picture. So I had to listen to the, you know, conspiracy theorist late night show. And the whole time I'm looking at my radio going, really? You just said that? Really? Weirdos? Oh, my God. You know, tinfoil hat wearing kind of people, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's okay, man. But I'm glad that you made it home, and even though I was sleeping, I got your text. And, and you know, I was glad that you made it, and I was worried about you, you know, because I know what it's like. You know, sleep deprivation is a bad thing. So I'm glad that you made it, and you know, outside of, I don't know, did you drive further than Greg? Greg came down from New Hampshire, but it's like by the time you factor in driving to my house and back and then back again and back, that might equal the mileage there.
Well, I don't think so. I think the time that Greg is spending in traffic in Mickey Mouse Land, a.k.a. hell, I really don't know. I think he's got more miles on me then.
Greg, just go kayak fishing. Put the gun down.
It'll be okay.
It'll be okay. Put the gun down, bro. You'll be fine. Oh, man.
Put the ticket
okay.
down and step away from Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. All right, folks. I got to get out of here because I got to go... I got to take a nap, and you know, this weekend me and Miss Batcast are going, we're going fishing. She's been in research mode learning everything she can about fishing, because you know that she can't learn anything from me. So she's checking everything.
The best way to learn is to get out in the water.
What's that?
The best way to learn is to get out in the water.
Absolutely.
You could be all brains if you can't apply it to what you're doing and understand how the water's moving and, you know, getting that eye for it. You're useless.
Hi. Greg just weighed in on the chat room. He had 1,500 miles before leaving Jacksonville. Oh, he's beating people with his paddle. There you go. Look like your avatar on Irish Water Dogs there, Mark. All right, man. I got to take a nap so I can take Miss Backcast fishing on Saturday. So I'm going to start her off basic, you know, give her a and this isn't any sort of disparaging comment or anything, but I'm going to fix her up with an idiot rig. You know, you got to start basic, you know. Maybe some shrimp, an idiot rig, you know. Something like that. So we'll get her on the right track. Pretty soon she'll be another incarnation of D. You know, standing up in a kayak, casting all over the place and stuff, you know, paddling around, standing up. So, all right, man, I'm gonna cut you all loose, and thanks for coming on the show, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having
Always
me.
Always a pleasure.
No problem, man. All right, and that's another episode in the books of the always dreaded Kayak Fishing Radio Network's Late Show. And I'm your host. My name is Rob DeVore. I'm a bad backcast. And you can check out my blog at www.abadbackcast.com or on yakangler.com. Give Chuck a call. Give Dee a call. Go fishing at Mosquito Lagoon or somewhere on the East Coast there. You won't be disappointed. And
no, just go fishing.
Yeah, just go fishing anywhere. But make sure, you know, if you're in the area, give those folks a call because they know what the heck they're doing, man.
Appreciate it.
All right, man. I will. I'll see you guys next Thursday. And y'all have a good weekend. And take a kid fishing.
Yep.